Hello and welcome to what is a Wednesday webinar. It's a surprise one, came out of the blue, but we're conscious that next week is our Christmas special. Next Tuesday night, 8 o'clock, Christmas special with the wonderful Becky Brooks.
Yes.
But tonight we thought we would round up some of the interesting, exciting, and all the frisson of excitement about the news round. Lots of news. So, firstly, Scott, how are you?
I'm fine, Mr. J.A. Coates, MBE. How are you?
I'm well, thank you. That's because it says that on my screen for our listener. Hey, there you go. I'm really well. Yes, busy day in the social work minds, chiseling away at all the various tasks I had to do. So that was very interesting. And yourself, what have you been doing? Busy?
I've just, mother-in-law left 2 days ago, so I've been catching up on all the little jobs that didn't get done when she was here, you know. And then I had to top up on the port and brandy that she drank when she was here.
You do know this is going to be alive, don't you?
Yeah, I do. She won't watch this. And if she does, then I'm in big trouble.
Okay, that's the end of your Christmas present. Anyway.
But in all seriousness, it was nice to have a visit just for a couple of weeks. And it was all done, you know, properly and stuff like that. So
COVID secure.
Yes, because that's us now until next year. So, anyway.
Oh, yes, very much. We're live. And so, actually, if you want to send in comments or questions as we go along through the topics, please put them in and they will pop up. And you might pop them on the screen if we've got that superpower. So please do that. That'll be wonderful. And also, we're going to be talking about a few topics. And so people's blood might get up. I've posted a few things on Facebook recently and Scott that's had a healthy debate, let's put it that way. But first on the list, Scott, this week, after months and months and months of delay, what's all that about? We finally found out that Krish Kandaya, formerly of Home for Good, is now the new Adoption Special Guardian Leadership Board chair.
We did.
Ta-da! Have you frozen, or are you just...
I'm still here.
So what are your initial thoughts? Good stuff. What are your initial thoughts? What's your good reaction to that news? Because you've met Krish in a professional role, haven't you?
Yeah. I mean, I met him way back when I was at Adoption UK, and I met him a couple of times since. I did some stuff for Home, not for Home for Good, but via Adoption UK with Home for Good, if that makes sense. But anyway, long story short, I haven't worked with him as such. I occasionally hear him on Radio 2 when I have Radio 2 on in the morning because he does some stuff on the BBC, doesn't he? And I guess what I'm currently thinking is, what is his remit going to be in terms of a specific kind of thing as chair of the ASGLB? And what I mean by that was Andrew Christie's was regionalisation. So Andrew Christie is the outgoing chair.
Yeah.
And that was his thing, wasn't it? Regionalisation was not given to him, but he was the one that kind of tried to kind of bring it all together, make sure that everybody was kind of meeting with each other. And, you know, he sorted out all these groups and stuff like that. So I guess that's my first question. And then my second question really is more about the kind of... it's got to be quite different because Krish is... he's got a presence on social media. Andrew Christie really didn't. And how is that going to work for him? And how is it potentially can work to the advantage of what he's trying to do? Fantastic. And I guess the other side of it is that he could actually open himself up to a lot of kind of public comments and criticism.
Debate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which obviously Andrew just, he was on social media, but he didn't really use it in the same way that you and I use it, et cetera, et cetera. So,
yeah.
I mean,
that's very different, isn't it?
Yeah. And I can't say whether it's a positive or a negative thing at this stage because we don't know. And that's no offense to Krish. It's just, you know, we had Sir Martin Neary, then we had Andrew Christie, and it's a very different appointment. I would publicly say that, you know, there's a couple of people that I would have put before Krish's appointment, but you know, but I just mean in terms of their involvement and, you know, perhaps the relationships of my own stuff like that, but I know Krish has got that as well, so, you know, balancing off. I mean, I I guess I don't have much to do with Krish on social media. He's never really engaged with me on social media. So, you know, whereas there's other people that I know went for it who didn't get it or who went through the process and didn't get it. So perhaps that's kind of maybe my thing. Maybe it's just, you know, about who you know and who you think would be great for the role. But more to the point, what do you think? Because you put me right in the spot there, Mr. Man. What do you think?
Well, I told you what we were going to talk about beforehand, so I don't quite understand why you were put on the spot.
I knew what we were talking about. Yeah, I didn't expect you to say do that one first and then throw it into my...
Yeah, well, I think that, I mean, I probably reflected this and I did a little video on my thing, and my initial thought was that this is very much in line what we've seen since December of last year when the new government came into power. Mm. And reflecting that the Conservatives for the previous, maths right, 9 years, 2010 they came to power, was it 2010? And they were a government that wasn't particularly strong in the parliamentary sense, so that there was no great majority. And this is the first time that the government's had a majority. And I remember having conversations, I think you were there, where the civil servant said, this feels very different in tone, that there's a parliamentary majority so the government can it can do what it wants in a way that it couldn't previously, where it had to kind of build consensus. It can just drive through what it wants. Mm-hmm. That then reflects that the political manifesto had adoption front and centre, or very much a gold standard. And then since then, we've seen a huge investment in recruitment that we've not seen for maybe 5, 6, 7 years.
Yeah,
very much focused on, a financial investment, and forward planning of the You Can Adopt, which I think is a 3-year rolling recruitment program, with it's constantly being evolved to suit the needs of different communities, and to try and dip into different communities which reflect the needs. Krish Kandaya fits perfectly into that, doesn't it? Because I think coming from Home for Good, which is a mobilization, has its feet in mobilizing the faith community, specifically Christian, into adoption and fostering. So I think that there's, if I was a minister, I would look at that and I'd go, this guy can get people to sign up.
Yeah.
This guy's got a presence. This guy's got he's got knowledge. Yeah. He's done it. He's got a track record of doing that. Let's pull him in. And that totally makes sense to me. So I guess I think we've had conversations. The other questions I have are in relation to that other stuff around special guardianship that perhaps hasn't been, that he's not had any reason to speak about. So we don't know.
No, exactly. Yeah, yeah.
It's not a reflection.
And to be honest, that is on my list. It's just, you know, it's quite a long list.
Yeah.
But I guess it's change as well, isn't it? It's change for everybody. And, you know, I've had a few people... Well, exactly. But I shared some stuff on social media on my private Facebook, and some people actually said, "Who is that?" What is the chair of the SGOB? And these are adoptive parents, so
absolutely,
you know, and exactly what you've just said there. You know, we know that Home for Good is relatively new in terms of an organization.
2013.
Yeah, 2012, 2013, something like that.
Yeah,
yeah, and to have built it up, and for people to know who Home for Good are. Whether you're, how do you say it? It's like getting the kind of ethnicity right. Whether you're someone of faith or not, and you're an adoptive parent, then you will know who Home for Good are. Generally, and they do some really good work. Of course, they do. So it will be interesting to see if this will increase awareness of what the SGOB does, and the fact that they, you know,
Also covers
guardianships and stuff.
Because I'm conscious as well that when you look at Home for Good have got fingers in lots of different places, and I think that they're influential as a lobbying group. From what I know, I think they're quite well.
They're also what's it? The APPG, isn't it? The Adoption Permanence
All
Parliamentary Group.
Parliamentary group on adoption. Yeah. So that's what I mean. That was what I was going to. Yeah. Absolutely. Mm. They are influential in different ways. But obviously, I think that, is it true that Krish has had to step down from his responsibility in that, just so there's no conflict of interest?
I think he said that, he said he had to stand away from it for the thing of his tenure.
Oh, well, that sounds different, doesn't it? That's more of a step back than off the board. But we can
Who knows? It's a bit like the old DT in the US of A, isn't it? When he became president, he had to, you know, I'm not going to mention his name. No, we don't know if he did or he didn't. Let's not get sued by.
Please, no.
Or denied entrance into America next Mexico.
Excuse me. Yeah. So I think that's really interesting. He's coming. We're speaking to him on the 12th. He's kindly.
We are. Very kindly and very quickly as well. So yeah. I doubt he's watching, but if he is watching, then thank you for agreeing to that so quickly. And it will be an interesting chat. We will be asking for your questions closer to the time because obviously we've got memories like sieves and we've got Christmas coming up, so we probably won't remember. But we will be asking for listeners' questions closer to the time.
And we've got a few already, so we've got questions. So we've got an hour with him, and we'll use
them. I'm not sure if we'll get through all of the ones that we've even got right now in an hour, but we'll have to prioritize and see what's more important. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Hold his feet to the fire, as they say, those young people. Those circles. So now I'm looking at our list of news items. I have to say, you brought this up and I thought this was a cracking point. You were talking about the adoption support fund. And I was really, it just kind of dawned on me. I'd not appreciated the kind of levels of stress in the community about the lack of knowledge about the adoption support fund.
Yeah.
So have we got any news? I haven't got any news.
Apparently not. No. It was mentioned at the Corran Bath event the other day, wasn't it, by Vicky Ford?
Was there a promise?
Wow.
That we would find out before Christmas?
Apparently, but she wouldn't be drawn on it from the kind of social media stuff that I saw, and which is really disappointing. Come on. I mean, how long have we been waiting on this?
And how many times have you been asked? I've been asked maybe every week. I'll get someone privately messaging me saying, do you know anything? What is it or isn't it? Because I think as of the 1st of November, the applications have stopped. It's because the money's going to run through, but the money will run through into the...
till the end of the financial year.
People are desperate
to
know.
But the spending review was supposed to include... confirmed or, whatever was going to happen. Now, that's happened. Now, I appreciate that they've got to allocate the funds and all that sort of stuff. But, for this big commitment to adoption and special guardians... You can either be half glass full or half glass empty. I'm kind of half glass full at the minute. Until I hear anything different. And I think that it will continue for, my thoughts are, another year. And then we'll be in this position in a year's time again, where we've got to, wait on a further decision. But the glass half empty of me thinks, well, we've not heard anything. Are they scared to mention it? Do they realise how much of a loss it would be? Blah, 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 blah. But...
why would you not announce it at the event on Monday? I don't know. It makes me think, why not? It was an opportunity to do it. Or maybe it didn't want to steal the thunder of the other announcements. I don't know. But I had therapists. I think there was one, I saw one physiotherapist, I think they didn't work for CAMP, but they worked for an independent service. And they were saying, we can't forward plan. We would take on more staff. If we knew this was rolling out for three years, we'd build the provision to meet the need. Because in the middle of all that, you've got people saying, waiting list, I can get the funding. But I'm on a waiting list. I've got to.
On a waiting list. And especially given the fact that, we're doing a lot less face to face at the minute, the waiting lists are probably a lot longer than they should be anyway. So, are we going to get to this? Is it going to get to the end of March and they're going to say, right, we need the money back now? Or are they going to roll it over? How is it going to work? But, we're still in this position where the ASF is being used for families on their knees. Not all of them, granted. I think that kind of has dissipated a lot since ASF came in. But there's still a lot of families who are in urgent need and didn't realise it was there, didn't want to approach the local authorities or their agencies, all that sort of stuff. So,
And also the COVID-19 sort of loosening of the constraints on it, where they were extended up to the end of December. Are they going to be extended through to April? Don't know. Because I know that they broadened the scope to support parents more, to be focused. So that was counselling toward...
Yes.
I'm not going to quote what it says because I don't have it.
No.
This is very England centric. I'm conscious, so sorry.
Yeah, you always do the same. You see, I mean, it's fair to say that the ASF doesn't affect me anymore because I don't live in England. So
that's fair enough.
But I still, I still, obviously, I mean, I still want to see it. I'd like to see it in all the four nations of, the UK. And if we could have it in the fifth of, which isn't a nation of the UK, obviously, because we're a republic. But you know what I'm saying? Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. But you know, I'd still like to see it continue because we used it when we lived in England. So you know, we know what benefit it is, and it actually really helped us in terms of being able to kind of move on with our family. So it's just we need to know. People need to know, and as soon as we know, they'll know. Let's face it.
Yeah. I mean, that's the crux of it. We're not hiding any in secret information. We will get out there as soon as we can.
Because I tell you what, if we knew about it.
We knew about it. We'd be buying shares in leather couches for therapy or something.
Or something, yeah.
In play therapy toolkits. Looking at my list, I'm conscious of the time because we're going to stick tight to half an hour. It's like a little news roundup, isn't it? Maybe the BBC will sponsor us.
I feel quite good because it's very focused, very snappy, very kind of quick, very, you know, almost to the point where I feel like I'm speaking far too fast.
Well, there's time yet. We could well and truly go off the rails. The other thing that's on the list is the care review. So that again, if we hark back to the manifesto 2019, December, there was a promise for care review, which was going to be something akin to what happened in Scotland last year. Vicky Ford, if you look at, I think there's a good article in Children and Young People Now, and they reflect on some of the information. People are really keen to find out who is going to be leading the care review, and also the questions about how broad is the scope. And Vicky Ford sort of implied that it would be cradle, it would be from baby to leaving, it would be cover everything. Whether it will cover adoption or not, I'm not sure. I'm not going to say it because I don't know. And I should have read more about that. How embarrassing. I know. I had one job.
Yeah, you did. But I guess there's been a lot of stuff going on. I'm just scrolling social media at the minute, actually, because there was one point that I wanted to make on that. But it was... I think that was a completely different thing that Vicky Ford tweeted on about kind of mental health of young people during COVID and stuff like that. But just going back to the care review, there's been lots of tweets, and I have read a lot. And the one thing that has kind of struck me is this, that it's very similar to the appointment of the chair of the SGLB, that someone was saying it would be nice to see someone experience adoption, an adopted adult or something like that. And I agree completely, but surely it's about the best person for the job. What are you thinking?
Like you, I find that really complicated conversation because I think that there is the whole idea of expert by experience. I think that, but experience doesn't necessarily make you an expert. It makes maybe an expert of your own experience. So I think we need the right person for the job if they can bring that as well. Great.
Well, exactly. Yeah.
But not exclusively.
Amazing. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
And so I kind of maybe controversially did that. I saw a Twitter poll. Someone was saying, you know, should the next person definitely be care experienced? I went, no, just looking for the right person. Because I think that reflects my experience of working with children. Well, we've had this conversation all the time about the impact of early adversity. It can skew how people perceive things, and it can be. The shadows of that can last long and not long. And it's important that their perspectives and views are brought into that care review. Absolutely. That, you know, they've got to be front and central. It's no good talking to me. I've got a perspective on what I do. But if you've been through the foster care system, if you've kind of been, you know, through all of its kind of twisty turns and all of that sort of stuff, you might have had a good or not so good or whatever experience, then that needs to be part of that review. But that doesn't necessarily make you an expert on the law or an expert on systems or processes or bureaucracy or funding.
Yeah. No, it doesn't. Yeah. And there's some names I've seen put forward on social media, and you know, when we're talking names, we're not talking like, you know, people who may have kind of come through this care system and left a couple of years ago. We're talking about kind of experienced government kind of influencers. And I think that this, again, it goes back to the SGLB thing, doesn't it? You know, if that's the kind of person that it takes to be able to do this, then surely that would be the right person. But it's all about their engagement.
Yeah.
Is it not? You know, because if they're not care experienced, then they need to be able to engage with the people who it matters to and about and all that sort of stuff. And that's what's important.
Yeah, and maybe the model is, rather than having someone sat at the top kind of dictating what we look at and think about, maybe we could have a group of people, a kind of a triad of panel chairs who all bring a different perspective, you know, from the industry, sorry to use that word, the care industry, you know, or the care sector, someone from, you know, who's experienced, you know, someone who represents families, you know, I don't know. I think it's, I kind of get really sick when we just have these binary arguments where we say, oh, it's just got to be this way.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
Hey ho. Mm-hmm. Well, we're edging closer to the last thing on our list. It's got up slightly.
What would that be, Al?
I don't know. I don't know. So you sent me a
list. This is another thing from social media.
I tell you, it's kicked right off on social media this week. I've tried not to be too distracted with it. I do apparently have a day job. So the Children's Commissioner, who we mentioned in our last podcast, and we were quite like, then we've dug a bit deeper.
And I think everybody has, to be fair.
Yeah, I mean, it must be terrifying to know that, you know, there's people going through your every tweet back to 2009, looking for...
If you could go back through the tweets, because they've been locked, so the account is now private. But that aside... That speaks volumes,
doesn't it?
Well, exactly. What we're trying to say is that the soon-to-be Children's Commissioner, Dame Rachel D'Souza, it's quite a controversial appointment, isn't it? Let's face it, you know.
Increasingly so, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, Chris, this is nothing compared, you know, your appointment is nothing compared to this one.
You're like cakewalk.
You're
creamy.
Honestly, you're an angel on top of a cake compared to this. Yeah. But it's some of the stuff that's coming out. Obviously, she is a director or a chief exec of what's it called? What are they called? Academy and Trust, which is quite controversial for the adoption, special guardianship, fostering kind of community, isn't it? Because we tend to have a number of issues with those. And she's got some kind of... Yeah, she's got some kind of controversial views on the old expulsions and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
But then she was given evidence to MPs in the Commons Education Committee before this appointment, and she was asked about the smacking ban that's already implemented in Scotland and whether she would kind of seek to do it in England. And her response was that she didn't really... I would be lying. I should not quote because this... But her response was something along the lines of, I don't really know what my views are on this. And that's me paraphrasing. I'm not quoting. I'm not saying that's exactly what she said. And I got a little bit peed off with that yesterday. I'm not going to lie, because how can you take on a role like that and not know what your views are on the chastisement, the children, especially when it's a physical chastisement? Anne Longfield is trying to do a very similar campaign she did a similar campaign in England that didn't kind of reach its crescendo as it did in Scotland, where it got banned altogether. But if you're going to take over from somebody who has had that, then sure, you know, do your homework at least, you know, and have a view on these sorts of things when they affect the needs of children generally, not just adopted children, or, you know, and if I hear of anybody smacking an adopted child, I will be round to your front door, not going to lie, and break in. and smash it back. But yeah, I just
well, that works, isn't it? There you are. Remember, it's live.
Yeah, well, yeah, but you know, let's on medicine, that kind of thing, you know.
I know exactly what you're saying. I think it's the thing is, I think it is a really polarizing issue. Your blood's up. That's fine. It's an incredibly polarizing issue. Chastisement of children, you know. Reasonable punishment. It is. My concern in all of this is often that there'll be some people who it's kind of, it's, well, let's start. If we were to take a straw poll of people who are watching this, not a lot of people, but, you know, we'd say to them.
Two people.
Right, two people. Your mum, my mum, you're my mum. Were you physically chastised as a child?
Yeah.
A lot of us would probably say yes, or it was, you know, or I witnessed it, or it was in the family. Right, that's fine.
Yeah.
So culturally and societally, I have no idea what that word is. And we've moved on, and we kind of would, we would say that we've moved on from that kind of perhaps more brutal society that we had to more enlightened society. But the reality is that not everyone has been on that journey. And my concern always when we have this discussion is that people are anxious that you're going to remove a tool that they're used to. And I'm not justifying this, to remove a control, that you're not replacing it. You've got to help people with that transition. If you just take something away, people will go, oh, you know, we need to bring back national service and the whole country's going to go to the dogs. Silly, it's not. But you've got to give somebody something else. You've got to show people alternatives, offer them alternatives, educate them about alternatives, because actually it is, you know,
I mean, it's an extreme punishment, isn't it? Let's face it, these days, you know, you would it harks back to, you know, the question that you're asked when you're going through your
everyone's asked it,
they are, you know, what are you going to do differently, you know, exactly, and you know, most people would answer saying, well, I take the good bits about what my parents did with me, and I would leave the bad bits, but what are the good and what are the bad? You know, everybody's kind of definition and perception of that is completely different.
The question is, like, I do this all the time, it's always part of my job, is I do Form Fs, which is similar to PASS, and so we have this really common, to especially with older applicants, you say to them, right, so you're, tell me the good stuff, tell me the stuff that you didn't want to do. What influenced you to be a parent? Where did you take your model of parenting from? Because often foster carers have already parented, and they will say, oh, I did this stuff from my parents. I just kind of followed on. Sometimes people will say, well, actually my parents were like this, and I thought, I will never be like that.
Yeah.
I will never do that. And the question is, but that can be complicated, because people say, well, my parents smacked me, I will never smack my children. And then the question is, so what do you do?
Yeah.
What, and that you've got, they've got to have a reasonable.
Yeah, you have to have a backup, don't you? Yeah, you have to wait.
And it's the argument of control versus authority. It gets into really murky water. So the son, all right, you know, liberal, corduroy wearing, man bag slinging social workers want the band smacking, and the world's going to the dogs. So it's just
that's totally some description of social workers, just right there.
What, corduroy wearing man bags playing social workers?
I mean, you've literally, you know, said who you are, but
I have a man bag.
Yeah,
no, I have a man bag.
Have you got corduroys?
I have been known to wear cord.
Okay. Again, I'm asking myself how the hell we are friends. But, you know, anyway, whatever.
It's a question that in many ways is stuck permanently to my head. How is this man my friend? And I am conscious, Scott, that we have come to our 30 minutes. So do you want to...
We have, but do you know what? We've covered a lot in 30 minutes. It has to be said.
We should have an and finally, shouldn't we? And finally in the news.
Yeah, we should.
And finally, the controversy about apparel with adoption slogans on has caused a huge furore on the internet once again.
Oh, yes. Yes.
That kicked off, didn't it? People were there.
Who did it kick off for, though?
All right. Well, I'd maybe put the ball into the pitch. So this is again about apparel with adoption slogans on and how appropriate they are and who are they for. And so, yeah, really complicated.
It is complicated because I think there's a bit more to it than that. And, you know, when I looked at it,
yes,
you're talking about cards for adoption. You're talking about, you know, all this kinds of stuff. And I guess sweatpants. I guess as old season kind of old farts when it comes to adoption and having been through what we've been through, and you know, we've talked about Instagram a lot lately, in terms of some of the stuff that goes on Instagram and how it's a community. And you know, we Twitter used to be the same community, it's just moved over to Instagram. Okay, so let's be perfectly honest and open about that one. There's still a massive community on Twitter, it's just we're not maybe as open about the kind of photographs and stuff like that. But this is a very similar thing. It's, you know, it's this is the, there's a thing about the kind of sensitivity of all this, isn't there? So if I was to have gone along to the introductions to my children and gone, look at me, I'm a big old gay adoptive dad, or you know, whatever stupid message like I decided to have put on my t-shirt.
Big old gay adoption dad.
Yeah, exactly. That's maybe brand, I should change my username. Big old gay. Emphasis on the old. But that would, you know, that's not sensitive. And I guess that, you know, when we look back, there's a lot of excitement around when children are placed for the parents. And some of that rubs off into the children because the children at that age are very excited to know that they're going to be permanent. Then, you know, they might not understand all the kind of background to that and stuff like that, but it's about the sensitivity of it. And who is this for? That would be my question. Is it for the parents, or is it for the child, or is it for the family? And I think that, you know, we see all these kind of chalkboards of, oh, you know, when children are adopted in the US, as an example, you know, stand outside courthouses saying, I was in foster care for this many days, and then I was adopted, kind of thing. So it's a very similar kind of thing. Yeah. Who is it for? Who, you know, if it's for the parents, then...
It's complicated, yeah, isn't it? And who can search the hearts of...
Well, exactly. But, you know, at the same time, I'd be interested in comments from, you know, adoptive mums on this one, because for me, it just seems a little bit insensitive. And, you know, I know you need something, because if you were having a baby, then you would get something. But, you know, we all go through the same process. Well, we should go through all the same process, and we should appreciate that actually it's not having your own baby, and it's very different to birth child. So therefore, the kind of... the celebration around that, it has to be very different, and it can't just, you know, you can't have your NCT and you can't have your I'm a new mum and, you know, all that sort of stuff, because it just doesn't fit, it doesn't work in the same way for me anyway. Yeah. And
I think I totally get that, and I think that's probably what people are coming to, that it's about helping people celebrate their experience without oversharing someone else's experience. So that's the complication, isn't it?
I think what I'd say, just to finish off what I have to say on that, if I may, because we're often criticised for kind of bringing up all these kind of things that are quite negative, but it's not a negative about adoption. It's just a negative about how we enjoy it, how we celebrate it, how our children may feel about it when they're older. And you know what? I love all my kids, you know, because love is one of the reasons why we do this. You're the same, I'm sure, even though you would never tell anybody. Publicly,
I mean. I tell children I love them all the time. You tell my children you love them?
No, I don't tell your children, because that would be very wrong, and I think there would be some form of investigation around that.
It's funny. You're funny you say that. I was thinking about this the other day, and that's born out of my own experience of being parent. Is my dad being unable to say he loved me? Yeah. So I really perfectly tell my children that all the time.
Yeah.
But my dad had really good reasons why he couldn't. You know. So my dad. Anyway, that's another story. That is another story for another day. I think that always one of the frustrations for me is that in exploring some of the less traveled narratives that we try to do, is that we are then perceived to be against adoption. And I don't think that we would categorize ourselves as that in any way. Yeah. We are probably for a better adoption. That's what we are after.
Yeah.
And only if necessary adoption.
Yeah. Okay. And I have one final thing to say before we go off. I've just had a message from the lady, good lady C, and she says, I'm watching you tonight. And just to let you know that Al has a pair of purple corduroy flares in the wardrobe.
Bell bottoms, I think you'll find they are.
Well, flares, bell bottoms. It's the same thing, is it not? I don't know.
How dare you?
They are the good fantastic. Old lady C giving me all the gossip from your wardrobe. She's probably in there now.
And you know what? I can tell you, I bought them the weekend that Mrs. C and I decided that we would adopt.
That's like 40 years ago, isn't it?
That's when they were still in fashion.
So they were flares. They weren't bell bottoms. They were flares.
Flares.
Because bell bottoms were from the 1960s.
It was January 1998.
Yeah, so they're flares.
Yeah, and I was in London in a park and it was sunny. And she bought a jumper and I bought some flares. There you go. Anyway, we're way off the beaten track. This is still as digital.
But you learned something new about Al Coates tonight. So,
Maybe, okay. Well, Scott, it's been wonderful. I've enjoyed our Wednesday webcast. We're going to come back in the new year with a Wednesday webcast, aren't we?
We are, yay! We've got to do them proper and everything, haven't we?
Well, same format, really sharp and to the point. I thought we were thinking about what subjects to do. We thought we'd do education, but really, really narrow it down. We're going to do behavioural policies. We're going to do post-8, post-16. We're going to look at all kinds of things that are really, really applicable, ECHP plans. But get an expert in and do 3 minutes, boom, on them. Really knowledgeable stuff. But anyway, boring myself now. If you want to contact us, it's the adoption. What's it? I can't even remember what it is. If you want to get in touch with us,
on Twitter, it's at adoption_pcast. On Facebook, it's A&F podcast. And I don't know, Instagram is some long convoluted thing. Just search for us. Just put adoption and fostering podcast.
It's unicorns and rainbows adoption podcasters. And it's A&F@gmail.com. And leave a review on iTunes, because the more you review it, the more people listen to it.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay. Well, have a cracking night, Scott, and I shall speak to you soon.
We shall. Bon Jovi.
Bon Jovi. Anchovy.
Anchovy.
Silly boy.